Hey, big bro. Hey, dig this here, man. First and foremost, man, I just wanna thank you from a perspective of just being legendary.
Appreciate you, man.
You know what I mean? Let me cut this down, man. I was in a zone for a while. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Let's go. You know, listen, Trad, listen, it's crazy, right? Because I'm gonna get right into it, man. You know, we kinda in the same age bracket. You dig what I'm saying? Watch your mouth, right? But
Factual. Talk back though, you heard?
Yeah, I mean, know it. So, you know, man, I was just in the zone, right? And yeah. I wanted to, there's a lot of questions that I wanted to ask since I was a young kid, you know what I mean?
All right.
And a lot of, one of the questions, man, was a song that you did, right? And remember, this is 31 years ago. 31 years ago.
All right.
Black and I'm Proud, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, peep game, because we're going to walk with me. We're going to go back and forth with it. We're going to tell stories behind these songs, right?
Let's get it.
But what was so amazing about that song, right, was that, all right, you was like 16, right?
I was like 18 at the time.
Right, so I'm 2 years younger. And at that time, I'm from the Bronx. You dig what I'm saying? We hearing this song, right? And we're not conscientious, right? But we hear the catch. I'm black and I'm proud, right? So we were in that zone. But lyrically, we wasn't there.
Okay.
So now fast forward a few years down the line, I get locked up. I got 15 of life. You dig? I become conscientious, right?
I get in the zone.
Right. I get in the zone. But what was so amazing about that, Trad, was that I'm saying to myself, yo, Tragedy, just a few years ago, put out a song. And at that time, we like, damn, we thought that everybody that, you know how it was back in the day, motherfucker come home. You know, they got knowledge itself. You know, they on the corner, they talking that talk. And a lot of us, man, we ain't trying to hear none of that shit. You dig what I'm saying? So when I heard that song, man, it amazes me that at that time, did you put that song out prior to you getting arrested or after?
I put that song out after I did my first bit. Yeah,
so with that being said, Trad, right, you know, now you come home, right? So, of course, you know, hip-hop maybe be a second generation, you dig what I'm saying? 90, 91-ish, you dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, factual.
We still got all, you know, like a different type of sound, right? You come home consciously inclined, right? Strategically, did you, like, was there people in your ear saying, yo?
No, listen. If it was strategic, I would have did it. I would have made a smoother transition. And there's a reason why I say that. Because for a long time, people didn't know that Tragedy Gaddafi on the War Report was the same Tragedy that made Intelligent Hoodlum. I get where you're going.
And right.
I get where your question is open. And that's a good question. Because first and foremost, I got to say this. Like, I have a rich history in this. And this is not something I'm saying for my ego or for my pride.
Right.
Because I'm so far beyond that. Like, I was literally raised in hip-hop. I was literally raised in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from a different time. And I'm going to say this. When I made Black and Proud, the reason why I say if I was being strategic, I would have plotted it better and it would have been a smoother transition is because I was making records as a young Tragedy with Live Motivator and all that, a lyrical poet, All I Drink Is Moet. That was me
MP
coming from
Percy.
But that was coming from a street side. So now when I made Intelligent Hoodlum, it was extreme consciousness and like, I didn't look at it from a business and or branding standpoint. What I looked at it as is, or what people need to understand when they understand my story. I hate to make it a winded answer, but I can't answer this quickly.
No, I'm with you.
All right, you with me? You walking with me?
I'm walking with you, beloved, because we going to go. All
right, stay with me. I'm going to carry the bag.
So please, look, dude.
So, look, when I made Black and Proud, you got to understand, I'm just coming home from prison. Now, while I was in prison, I had OGs try to, you know, school me and put me on the black, or should I say consciousness? Because it's right. to me, it's bigger than black consciousness.
Right.
But I had OGs try to, you know, give me the right food. And, you know, respectfully, I showed them respect, but I didn't really ingest it.
Right.
Because to me, that shit was foreign. Like, to me, I'm like, yo, you trying to tell me about this? Who is this nigga Malcolm X? Who is Asada Shakur? Like, get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Right.
To me, successful niggas was niggas that made it in the street and got money. Anything outside of that, my scope and my world was so contained and small that I just couldn't believe, you know, these stories.
I know the feeling.
Soon as I walk in my people's crib, MCT Papa Mob, you know, he an OG from the hood that put in a lot of work in hip hop, but didn't really get his mainstream acclaim. But like, he helped really like kind of navigate me and Havoc at an early stage. So when I walk in the crib, my man got an episode playing on the VHS, and the video that was on was Public Enemy, Night of the Living Bassheads. But listen to me. You got to understand, when I left, dudes wasn't making records like that. The most conscious records I heard prior to me leaving was like The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Problems in the World Today.
Right.
It's Like That by Run DMC. It's Like That.
Yeah.
And those are the most, you know, and there's a few others, but those were some of the most conscious records I heard prior to me leaving. This is not a simple answer. So when I come home and I see Night of the Living Bassheads, I'm like this. I drop my bag. My people's, oh, you home, yo. And I'm like, nah, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? At night, he went to sleep. And in the morning, all he had was sneakers on his feet. The Crown Prince used to jam and rock the mic. Yo, he stripped his Jeep to build his pipe. I was like, yo, it spoke to me. So now when I hear this record, I'm like, oh, shit. Who the fuck is that? So now my man's like, yo, that's Public Enemy. Now I'm like, wait. The last record I heard from Public Enemy was Because I'm Public Enemy Number One.
Right.
But now they advance their message. And long story longer, that was the first spark. So now I'm working with Marley. And I'm in Marley's crib. So now Marley leaves his phone book on the mix board. So I pick up his phone book and I go through it. And I see Chuck D's number.
It's a process. So
when I saw Chuck D's number, I ain't gonna lie, I copied it out of Marley's phone book. And I would call Chuck D every day, right? He pick up the phone. I'm like, hey, yo, what's up? Yo, what's up? Yo, what's going on? Yo, let me ask you a question. I'm like, yo, who? When you talk about Geronimo Pratt, yo, who is that? Yo, Geronimo Pratt is he was one of the leaders of the Black Panther Party. You know what I'm saying? The Black Panthers, you know, they the ones who set up, you know, when you go to free lunch, they're responsible.
Right.
So Chuck D's breaking all this down to me. And as he's breaking this down to me, I'm going to the library and I'm getting books on these dudes. So now I bring it to this point, right? To fully answer the question. When I made Black and Proud, that wasn't me thinking branding. That wasn't me thinking entertainment and, yo, how I'm gonna, you know, exploit this gimmick. That was me, right, being a warrior.
We gotta take it back to the essence. This is when I used to throw my shit on. Hold up.
Black and Proud.
Ah!
Factual.
Yeah. Yes. Black History Month.
Yes.
with the talented format. I'm kicking the earth like a doormat. The more I grow, the more I understand. And I